Today is the commemoration of the disappearance day, or days, of these two great personalities, Srila Rupa Goswami and Gauridas Pandit. So before class, we're going to chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas. Hanilo Premadanda Korana Prachu Henu Prabhu Kota Gela Charya Thakur Taha Borav Sarupa Rupa Kaha Sanatan Kaha Daso Raghunatha Pavan Kahamora Bhatta Juga Kaha Kaviras Eka kale kota gela goranatara Pashane kutivo mata Analeva Shiva Goranga Gunera Nidhi Kota Gele Pabo Sabha Sangira Sange Jikoilo Vilahas Se Sangana Ayakande Narottam Udahas Jai Anilo Premadanna Koruna Prachur Jaya Jaya Thakur, Jaya Jaya Thakur, Jaya Jaya Thakur, Jaya Jaya Thakur. Jaya Jaya Thakur, Jaya Jaya Thakur. Jai Om Vishnupad. Paramahansa Paravitkacharya, also Teta, Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Gosvami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Friends, say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya Shishi Radha Krishna Gopika Patna Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavan Kijaya Maturam Kijaya Jagadatha Sami Kijaya Yamunamaya Kijaya Shimati Glossi Devi Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindika Jai Gaur Prevananda Hari Hari Gom. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Prevananda. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya. Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharni Nivishesha Shinyavadi Paschat Dejatarni. So we'll read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, and where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Be not able to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastimes. Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day or days of these two great personalities, Gauridas Pandit and Srila Rupa Goswami. So Om Gana Timidandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So first we're going to talk about Rupa Goswami. Of course, Rupa Goswami's ontological form is Rupa Manjari. A Manjari is a small prepubescent girl who helps Radha and Krishna in their loving exchanges. And so he's an eternal associate of the Lord, Nityasiddha devotee, that's what it means, and a Shaktavesh avatar. That means he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come down and carry out a specific mission. And we are known as Rupanugas, because we're followers of Rupa Goswami. He's the, basically in one sense, the Samstapaka Acharya for our branch of the Sampradaya after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, we could say Samstapaka means like founder Acharya. But obviously, Srila Prabhupada is divine grace. Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But he's the, Rupa Goswami is the foundational Acharya, because he took the instructions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and elaborated and put them down in very precise fashion in his different books, such as the Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as to how to carry out the Krishna Conscious Movement on individual basis and also on a society-wide basis. And so he dealt with Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means the basic the basic interactions or relationships between the tattvas, such as Jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva and Maya tattva and kala, time, and karma. And also, he taught about that, and he also taught about how to practice devotional service and how to perfect devotional service. So in one sense, we can say that he taught all three aspects of devotional service, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. And in another sense, he is generally considered to be the acharya of abhideya, which means the practice of devotional service. Sanatana Goswami is considered to be the acharya of sambandha, and Raghunath Das Goswami is considered to be the acharya prayojana, the ultimate goal of life. But Srila Rupa Goswami basically did touch upon all three subject matters. I mean, you have so much elaboration in his books. Of course, not only the Nectar of Devotion, which Prabhupada termed to be the law book of our Krishna Conscious Society, but the Nectar of Instruction, which details really basic principles in Krishna consciousness. And then also, as far as Prayojana is concerned, Srila Rupa Goswami's plays, such as the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lalita Madhava, deal with the ultimate goal of life too. So we can't really say he's just confined to abhideya or giving us instructions how to practice devotional service. He actually deals with all three aspects of devotional service, although he's considered the acharya of abhideya. So a little bit of history of Srila Rupa Goswami. Of course, his most prominent works are the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjala Nilamani, which is the postgraduate study of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Padyavali, which is a compilation of different poems and prayers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Vidagdha Madhava and the Lalita Madhava, although he composed many other books. So let's talk a little bit about his history. He was born in the year, or appeared, we say, in the year 1489, and he had two brothers, Sanatana Goswami and Vallabha, and actually their names were not like that. Their names originally were Amara and Santosh, as far as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami respectively were concerned. And the names Rupa and Sanatan were given to them by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I'm talking about Sanatan and Rupa and also Manupama, before they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were actually working for the Muslim government and the Nawab Hussein Shah. So you may ask, and they were a Brahmin family. They're actually, originally their family came from the south, from Karnataka. So they were a pure Brahmin family, but they had actually moved to Bengal. So the reason they were working for the Muslim government, which in those days, working for the Muslim government was considered to be a way to lose your caste. Anyway, the reason they were doing that is because the Nawab Hussein Shah understood he wanted these two personalities, that's Dabir Qasim and Shikadar Malik, that's the names he gave them. He wanted them to work for him, and in order to get them to work for him, he had to threaten all the villagers from where they came. So he threatened actually to cause harm to the villagers, and then they agreed under duress to become the servants of the Muslim governor, Nawab Hussein Shah. And then Nawab Hussein Shah, as I mentioned before, gave them the Persian titles Dabir Qas and Shikara Malik. And these Persian titles indicated their position. Dabir Qas meant private secretary, and Shikara Malik meant revenue officer. So even before they started to work for the Nawab Hussein Shah, Rupa Goswami had written several books on Vedic philosophy. And a very famous book is his Hansa Dutta, means the swan messenger. And he and Sanatan used to regularly recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. So they were fully immersed in Krishna consciousness even from the very beginning of their lives or the beginning of their pastimes. So what happened is they decided to settle in a place called Ramakeli. And it's a village about 18 miles in north, described here, southeast of Malda, which is in North Bengal. And they used all the money that they were getting, because not only were they forced to work for the Nawab Hussein Shah, but they also got paid, too. So there was the, what do they say, the carrot and the stick. So they were, they had so much money that they were able to construct a replica of Vrindavan Dham, which they called Gupta or Hidden Vrindavan in Ramakeli. And in this way they would do all their readings and worship and remain completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. And also they studied so many different literatures, not only the Vaishnava literatures or Vedic literatures, but they studied literatures in Arabic, Persian, and other local dialects, of course in Bengali too, which they spoke. And it said that they had studied Sanskrit previously under this great personality who was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's brother. His name was Sarva Nanda Vidya Vachaspati. So, in this way, and they heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were praying that they could someday meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time, when he was in Jagannathpuri, decided to go to Vrindavan. And actually, he knew he wasn't going to make it all the way to Vrindavan, but it was a trick so that he could visit Ramakeli and initiate Rupa and Sanatana and Anupama. So this is in the year 1514. He stopped at Ramakeli specifically to meet Rupa and Sanatana, who at that time, as I said before, were known as Dabir Khas and Shikara Malik. And it's described that he was accompanied by thousands of different people who were chanting and dancing. It was like a whole entourage, like you say. Sometimes you see nowadays the devotees, they go on parikrama around different places and there's thousands of buses at Govardhan and you can't move. So it was something like that. Of course, they weren't buses, they were walking. And so these two brothers, they remained a little distant from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came. And they offered a prayer. Actually, this prayer was authored by Srila Rupa Goswami, which we chant every day when we're making an offering. At least Prabhupada instructed us to chant this prayer. I don't know if it's that way in the Deity Worship book anymore. It's Namo Mahabhata Nyaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tasena Maha. And I don't know if people still do it, but that's how Prabhupada told us to make offerings. Actually, Prabhupada told us to make offerings of bhoga to the deities by chanting four different prayers. You know, the two pranam prayers of Prabhupada. And of course, if someone's initiated by one of the present personalities, then you add that particular prayer. But also Namo Mahabhadanaya, etc. And Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Taya Cha Chakadataya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That's Prabhupada's instruction, which I follow to this day, regardless of what anyone else says. So this prayer means, O most munificent incarnation of the Lord, you are Krishna himself. Appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have assumed a golden color, the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are freely distributing what no other incarnation has ever distributed before, pure love of God. So at this particular point, they both, all three of them actually, there was an Upama too there, received instruction from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they also met Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And initially, both of the brothers approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very humble way, which is sort of, I guess, a tradition at that part of India. They put bunches of straw. It's described not one piece of straw, but bunches of straw in their teeth. And they offered obeisances, and they fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. And they said to him, this is a quote, "We belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates and employment are of the lowest type. Therefore, we feel it strange to introduce ourselves to you. We are ashamed, for you are so pure. Dear Lord, let us assure you that no one is more sinful than us. nor is there any offender like us. Since you have specifically incarnated to deliver the fallen souls, please consider that there are none so fallen as the two of us, for we are worse than Jagai and Madai. See, you may question, you know, their particular understanding in this regard, but actually because they had accepted bad association, and I guess Jagai and Madai, they just did sinful things. Sometimes it's explained like that. But that's their humility. Of course, they weren't lower. They were actually forced out of service to the Vaishnavas to serve the Muslim government. You understand? Basically, it's like putting a gun to other devotees' heads and saying, serve, or else we're going to shoot these devotees. I mean, if that happened to me, if someone like pointed a head, let's say, pointed a gun at Drista's head and said, we're going to shoot Drista, or you eat meat, I would eat meat. That may come as a shock to you. But protection of the Vaishnavas, the service of the Vaishnavas is the most important thing. So that's why they were serving. They were not actually fallen. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you two brothers are my eternal servants. From this day, your names will be changed to Shivupa and Sri Sanatan. Wow. No 6 months waiting there. Anyway, instant initiation. Of course, at that particular time, initiation meant getting the Gayatri Mantras, not simply getting names. Of course, Prabhupada divided up the initiation process into getting a name, which is called Harinam initiation, and also that was done in the Gaudiya Math too. It's interesting, I just found out that Srila Prabhupada's sister was given second initiation. Did you know that? By one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. So even in the Gaudiya Math, they gave women second initiation. Must have, because they gave her. She got Gayatri. What, not the Brahman, but the other Gayatri mantras. Yes, okay. Okay, but Prabhupada gave the ladies the Brahma Gayatri, because Prabhupada understood very clearly we're not the body. And Prabhupada understood, he actually understood how to present Krishna consciousness to the whole world and save the world. So, anyway. So then, Srila Rupa Goswami and his older brother, younger brother, Balava, were able to renounce the world, and they went to live as traveling mendicants. And Rupa Goswami, when he renounced the world after meeting Lord Chaitanya, actually one thing I left out here, was that they advised Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not to go to Vrindavan at that time because he was traveling with a large retinue. He said it wasn't appropriate to visit a holy place when you're traveling with a large retinue like that. So Lord Chaitanya took their advice and went back to Jagannath Puri, and later on he went to Vrindavan. So, so Rupa Goswami renounced the world and he gave 50% to Brahmins and Vaishnavas, 25% to relatives, and kept 25% for personal emergencies. And soon after that, they traveled, Rupa Goswami and Anupama traveled to Prayag and met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once again. And there he instructed the two brothers for 10 days in all the aspects of Krishna Tattva. And we're not going to go over all those different aspects right now. Rupa Goswami and Anupama did not want to leave Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's side. So they accompanied him as far as Benares and wanted to go with him to Jagannath Puri, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, first visit Vrindavan, and then later you can meet with me in Puri. So on the way to Puri, after going to Vrindavan, Anupama departed from the world, and on the way to Jagannath Puri, Rupa Goswami conceived of the concept of dramatic playwriting as a means to convey the pastimes of Krishna. So he was passing through a village on the way to Jagannath Puri known as Satyabhamapura in Orissa. And that evening he had a dream in which a beautiful woman appeared and asked him to write a separate play about her. And of course that was Satyabhama. Later on, when he showed the basic outline of this play to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed that yes, not only should he write the play, but there's a difference, not just one play about Vrindavan and Dwarka, but there's a difference between Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes and those pastimes in Dwarka. And like the pastimes in Dwarka are majestic pastimes, and the pastimes in Vrindavan are intimate. So to combine them all in one play would be an inappropriate mixing of rasas. So he said, divide your play up into two parts. And so Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy got a chance to read the early drafts of Rupa Goswami's work, but the books were not completed until years later. It's described that the Vrindavan pastimes, that's the Vidagdha Madhav, were completed in 1532, and the Dwarka episode, which is the Lita Madhav, was completed in 1546. And these two literatures are regarded by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as the most important dramatic literatures in the Sanskrit language. Hmm. So while Rupa Goswami was in Jagannath Puri, he did not go inside the temple to see Lord Jagannath. And because it was considered that he had lost his caste, so he respected the local customs there rather than just like hiding out and pushing himself in and making believe something that wasn't true, but he wanted to respect the local custom. And this is also indicative and important for us to understand when we're in a particular location, or even as far as the adjustment of the presentation of Krishna consciousness, it's important to respect the local culture rather than trying to impose something that would disturb people's minds. So that's a challenge in presenting Krishna consciousness, and also a challenge, as we're seeing on the GBC, in applying even certain resolutions that we have in the GBC according to different places and countries and situations, to respect the local culture without losing the essence of Krishna consciousness, without losing the ultimate managing authority of the GBC. So this is really a challenge for us that we're dealing with at this particular juncture. So Rupa Goswami stayed with Lord Chaitanya for 10 months in Puri and received further instructions from him. And he went to Vrindavan, but he was passing through Bengal, where he was delayed for 12 months because he wanted to make sure that his taking sannyas would not inconvenience his family and his relatives. You know, this is how important it is, even if one takes sannyas, to actually act properly according to the social situation. So he divided his wealth amongst his family members, a particular section of his wealth as he described before. Then he went to Vrindavan, and some authorities, although it's a subject of controversy, say that he established the deity of Vrindadevi, who is the deity of Vrindavan, basically. Of course, there's a little argument about whether that's true or not. And today this deity of Vrindadevi can be found in the Madan Mohan temple, not the temple of Sanatana Goswami, the temple in Kamyavand, which is in Western Braj. I mean, there's stories about that deity too, which I'm not going to... Well, one story is the deity didn't want to be taken out of Vrindavan when all the other deities were taken out to protect the deities from the Muslims, and she refused to move. Let's see, there's another story here about Rupa Goswami. One time Rupa Goswami, let's see, oh, here, yeah, yeah. One time he was thinking about the difficult task that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him to construct temples and to renovate the holy places, and then a young boy approached him and asked the reason for his despondency or his thoughtfulness. He told the boy of his mission to revive Vrindavan as a Vaishnava place of pilgrimage, a headquarters for the movement. Then he informed the boy of his mission to build wonderful temples and establish a scholastic and literary community. And the young boy said, "Please follow me." And he took Rupa Goswami to a small hill. He said, "Inside, there is a deity. There's a deity of Govindadevi, which was established 5,000 years ago by Krishna's great-grandson, Vrajanaba. And the villagers had buried the deity to protect him from the Muslims." And the boy described that every day a cow comes to this place and showers her milk all over the hill. In this way, the milk seeps through and Govindadev relishes his meal. So Rupa Goswami was pretty skeptical about this after the boy disappeared. So the next morning he came to the spot to see if a cow came, and he saw a cow came and things happened just as the boy had described. And Rupa Goswami called for the villagers to excavate the site, and they discovered the famous Govindadev deity there. And then they became enthusiastic to erect a temple and begin proper worship. Rupa Goswami sent news to Jagannath Puri that his mission in Vrindavan was underway, and after hearing this, Lord Chaitanya happily sent Kashishra Pandit, who was his personal assistant, and others to assist him. So under the patronage of this famous emperor, Akbar, the temple was constructed, Rupa Goswami even convinced Maharaj Man Singh of Jaipur to donate huge quantities of red sandstone for the temple. Later on, our good friend Aurangzeb was so upset. There's some story that he saw the lamp, which was on the higher, there was like seven-story Govindadev temple. From the higher level of the temple, he saw the lamp all the way from Agra, which was his headquarters, and he got so upset that he ordered his soldiers to destroy the temple. So they came and they started to tear down the temple, and all of a sudden, after they had torn down, I guess, two or three stories, they heard a crash on the ground and everything started to shake and they ran away. And so part of the temple was left. And the deity eventually was moved to Jaipur, Govindadev, Radha Govinda, where they're presently being worshipped right on the outskirts of the palace there. And it's a rule, basically, in the city of Jaipur that before you can go to work in the morning or do anything, you have to go see the deity, take darshan of Govindadev. And I've been there several times. And in the early morning when there's darshan, practically there's hundreds or thousands of people, and they're all chanting, Govinda, 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 and circumambulating the deity. It's a very beautiful ceremony to see so many Vaishnavas. So, let's see, what else about Rupa Goswami? I already spoke about the Vidagna Madhava, Ujjala Nilamani, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Oh yeah, one other story about Srila Rupa Goswami. One day, as Rupa Goswami was performing his bhajan in the vicinity of a place called Terokadamba, that's near Nandagram, he wanted to get some milk and sugar and prepare kheer for his Govinda deity. Then he thought, oh, I can offer this sacred food to my guru and elder brother Sanatana Goswami. So he was meditating like that. And after a while, a beautiful young girl came to his place and offered him all the ingredients. And she said, please prepare some nice kheer and offer it to the deity, which he did. So he offered it to the deity and became thick and condensed, sweet kheer. And he gave the remnants to Sanatan, and Sanatan relished it, but he was overcome by symptoms of ecstasy, and he was unable to describe to control his symptoms of ecstasy. He said, where have you gotten the ingredients for this? His brother told him the story. Rupa Goswami told Sanatan Goswami the story, how a beautiful young girl had brought him these ingredients. Sanatan asked him for the description of the beautiful young girl, and then Sanatan came to the conclusion that this beautiful young girl was indeed Srimati Radharani. And he actually chastised Rupa Goswami. He said, you're not supposed to take service from Srimati Radharani. He said the proper relationship is that we are her servants. We're not supposed to be served by her. This story is actually told in depth in the Bhakti Ratnakara. And Sanatana Goswami tells Rupa Goswami never to accept such gifts again. There's many other stories about Rupa Goswami. I wanted to touch briefly about, to talk a little bit about Gauridas Pandit. Gauridas Pandit was Subal in Krishna Leela, and he was such a great devotee. I don't see how much time, I don't have too much time. He resided in a place called Ambika Kalna, and his worshipful deities were Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda. And in the temple of Ambika Kalna, it's said that there is an old copy of the Bhagavad Gita on palm leaves, which is supposed to have been written by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So if you go there, I mean, this is some of these stories about these great saints. This is called hagiography, which means sometimes there's a little bit of fluffing them out. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said in the Bhakti Ratnakara, it's not exactly accurate in all respects, but the tattva and the siddhanta is proper. So this is really important to understand that when Vaishnavas write literatures, the important thing is to present the proper tattva and the proper siddhanta. It's not that you just can make up stories, but and even if devotees, let's say, make up stories, if you're a pure devotee, then actually those stories are manifest inside your heart, or those pastimes are manifest inside your heart, so they're not necessarily untrue. That's another way of looking at it. So one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda came there to see Gauridas Pandit, and it's described that they, in order to get there, they had to paddle a boat. And Lord Chaitanya had a paddle, and he gave it to Gauridas Pandit, and he said, with this paddle, you can cross the ocean of material existence. I'd like to have that paddle. And he gave it to Gauridas Pandit. And Gauridas Pandit's elder brother was also very prominent in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. His name was Suryadas Sarakala. And his daughters were Vasudha and Janava, who were married to Lord Nityananda. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda visited Gauridas Pandit, he begged them not to leave. He said, in fact, he was crying so much, he wouldn't let them leave. He said, don't leave, don't leave, don't leave. And if you don't leave, then I'll actually know that you were actually Patita Pavana. And Lord Chaitanya said, give up this idea. I am personally present in the deity form. And actually, there's several different versions of the story. One version is that they pose for deities. Another version is they manifest the deities. But in any case, they assured Gauridas Pandit that they were there in the deities. And there's even one story of how there were the two deities and Lord Chaitanya, and there were four personalities, and Lord Chaitanya, we still have 4 minutes. Lord Chaitanya said to Gauridas Pandit, you can pick which two you want to keep. I mean, that's also so, like I said, there's several versions of these stories. But these stories are there to glorify the Vaishnavas and actually present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So basically, he kept the deities. And Gauridas Pandit had such an interesting relationship with these deities that when he got old, he actually was struggling to prepare so much for the deities, so many preparations. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time refused to eat. Phew. Can you imagine that? I don't know how that was manifest on the altar, but these are pure devotees. And Gauridas Pandit was very hurt. If you get happiness by not eating, then why do you have me cook in the first place? Yeah, then Lord Chaitanya said, you know, just prepare something very easily, you know. And Gauridas said, anyway, whatever I prepared today, please accept that. From tomorrow, I won't feed you with so many preparations. I just put some shock on your plate. Hearing this, the two lords laughed and began to eat. So one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda put on their own ornaments. You know, he came in to see the deities, and they actually had their own jewelry on. And Gauridas Panda said, where did you get so many ornaments? So Gauridas Panda's dearmost disciple was Hridayananda. And there's that whole story about Hridayananda was taking care of the deities, and then one time Gauridas Panda went somewhere, and Hridayananda actually sent out invitations for Gaura Purnima without his guru's permission. So Gauridas Panda got back, got very upset with his disciple, and said, you know, you've done something without permission, you're upstart, just go away from here. So he went away, and there's different versions of this story, too. One story is the deities followed him. Another version of the story is that he was by the river chanting, and a rich man gave him a donation. He sent the donation to his guru. It's Hridayananda we're talking about right now. The guru sent the donation back to him to do a festival by the bank of the river, and when he arranged the festival, then the deities left and join him. That's another version of the story. So anyway, so the deities were there, and then when Gauridas, they were there with Hridayananda, and when Gauridas Pandit went to do his own Gorpanima festival, he opened the altar, or his pujari opened the altar, and there were no deities there, and he understood what had happened. And he thought, you know, this is a problem with this Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and he took out a stick and he went to the bank of the Ganges. He understood exactly what had happened. And he had running with his stick. And then the deities got so worried that they jumped into the heart of Hridayananda. And Hridayananda at that time had his name changed. No reinitiation. And his name became Hriday Chaitanya. Hriday Chaitanya means he who has Chaitanya in his heart. And Gauridas Pandit even fell at the feet of his disciple when he saw that, because he understood his disciple had Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his heart. So his disappearance day is on the 13th day of the bright fortnight of the month of Shravana, which is today. And in Vrindavan, there's a place called Dir Samir, where Gauridas Panda Samadhi is located here, as are some of his other worshipable deities, named Shri Shama Roy. So a little bit of information. I think we have to greet the deities now, right? Jai, Shri Shri Radhagalokananda Ki Jai.
Govindam, Adi Purusha.
Jago, Jago, Gorachanda Mahulai. Kotanendra Yahumaya, Pisatira Kolei. Mahajiva, money I say, samsara vitare. Uliya, Rohini to me, Apitya Bhare. Toma Rehi, Laite Hami, Aino Avatara. Ami Vina Vanuara Keachito Marda. Neche Ashani Maya Nati Barulaki. Ati nama maha mantra loi to me mage. Makati venod brahmu jaranai puriya. Say Hari Nama Mantra Loi Lala Gaya. Jeev Jago,
Chicago, Corazon na po naihe. Katanedra, Yaumaya, Pisachira Kolei. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Radha Goloke Nandura, Radha Goloke Nandura, Radha Jai Radha Goloke Nandura, Radha Goloke Nandura, Radha. Jai Radha. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Jaya Sri Radha.
Jai Om Vishnupad Padamahansa Paravacharya also Tada Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Avaya Chadana Bhaktivedanta Gosami Srila Prabhupada Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Jai Ananda Koti, Vaishnav, Vrindigajai, Namacharya, Shidhidas, Thakur, Gijai. Prem, Se, Kaho, Shri, Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nichananda, Shidwaita, Gadadha, Shivasati, Gaur, Bhakta, Vrindigajai, Shishi, Radha Krishna, Gopalanath, Shyam Kunda, Radha Kunda, Gidigo, Vrindan, Kijai, Vrindavanam, Kijai, Maturidam, Kijai. Jagannath Swami Kajai, Vimunamai Kajai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai, Gaur Kripananda, Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Kajai, Gaur Kripananda. So let's read translation. Lord Gaurachandra is calling, wake up, sleeping soul, wake up, sleeping soul. How long do you sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? You've forgotten the way of devotional service and are lost in the cycle of birth and death. I have descended just to save you. I am your only true friend. Other than me, what friend do you have? I have brought the medicine that will wipe out the disease of illusion from which you suffer. Take this great chant for deliverance, Maha Mantra, the names of Hari. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, falling to the Lord's lotus feet, takes shelter of the Hari Nam Mantra, the Lord's holy name. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki Jai. Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy 35th birthday. Imagine I'm